Article from MSN, how to retire on $12,000 a year. An old but often overlooked strategy can dramatically cut what retirees spend on food, shelter, and transportation. And there could be social benefits in the bargain, by Scott Burns. An email he got says, please write an article telling people with less than $15,000 a year of retirement income how they're supposed to survive. Scott Burns says, the solution here isn't more money or another government program. The solution is social. It's called sharing. Having enough social skills to multiply your effective income to a level far greater than it could be made with ordinary cash. He says the productive social advantage that we need to take advantage of is sharing. Economists call it economies of shared living. Scott Burns says, now let's examine how economies of shared living can benefit a retiree. Imagine a single retiree living in a 55 and over trailer park. She has a monthly net Social Security benefit of $1,000. From that, she has to pay $400 for land rent, $300 for the loan payment on the manufactured home. That leaves only $300 a month for food, clothing, shelter, transportation, and everything else. It's not a pretty picture. Now let's imagine the same person as she creates a family of retirees. She's got a 1,400 square foot double wide trailer with four bedrooms and two bathrooms. Let's see how things change as she builds her household and income is pooled to share expenses. Have three roommates. Income quadruples to $4,000. That leaves $3,300 after shelter expenses. With this much shared income, each person has $825 a month. So the answer, folks, on how to live fashionably frugal is to all live together. Mad Money Machine. Show 115. Friday, the 13th of June. Thanks, everyone, for downloading the Mad Money Machine to your iPod, to your iPhone, to your Zune, to your computer. This is Paul Douglas Boyer. Welcome to show 115, where we're going to talk a little bit about fashionable frugality. Right, now that all investments in all markets everywhere are going down, how can we live without having money? Now, hopefully it's not a problem for you because you have gotten an account with Index Funds Advisors, IFA.com, our sponsor. Let them help you manage your financial freedom, please, before you need to be fashionably frugal. According to an article at finance.yahoo.com, 12 new necessities that drain your cash include a daily latte, cable TV, a manicure or a pedicure, Botox treatments, bottled water, a second car, a cell phone, lawn service, clothes, going to private schools, childhood parties, and pet grooming or walking. Just drop some or all of these new necessities from your budget and you can live more frugally. Also, instead of eating good food, just buy cans of beans and big bags of rice. Article in the Wall Street Journal about electronics frugality says instead of buying a camera that costs $500, how about the Canon PowerShot A470 for just $129? Instead of the too pricey Apple iPod, go to Radio Shack and get the SanDisk MP3 player, just $90. Retailers are pushing down the price on Blu-ray DVD players, which sell for $550 on average. But this month, Walmart began selling Blu-ray high-definition DVD players from Magnavox for $298. Of course, you could skip buying a separate box altogether and just get a PlayStation, right? The EPC made by Asus Tech costs $300. HP's Mini Note PC costs $500, or a half ounce of gold. And today I learned that the iPhone 8GB is going to be $199. Can't wait for July 11th. It's iPhone Day. Oh my goodness, the stock chartists are having a fit these days, aren't they? Matter of fact, there's a guy at stockchartist.blogspot.com, and he's been tracking this moving average of the S&P, and he's tracked the 60-day, the 90-day, the 120-day, the 200-day moving averages. And when that S&P crosses below all those moving averages, man, it's time to sell. And when it crosses above those moving averages, man, it's time to get back in. Well, it has been bouncing up and down around those moving averages. The stock chartist is getting dizzy. Yes, these trend followers, what trend do you follow when it's complete oscillation? Yes, the presidential race is now down to just two. Or is it? Oh, wait a minute. There's a third party out there, isn't there? Rarely talked about in the mainstream media is a potential race between three candidates. Who are the three? John McCain, Barack Obama, and Bob Barr. Not Bob Barker. Bob Barr running in the Libertarian Party. Now, when they get to the debates, wouldn't it be great if they invited somebody with a different perspective on things into the debate? Sure, McCain and Obama will go back and forth about who wants to get out of the war first and all this sort of stuff. But I think Bob Barr's perspective would be completely different than the other two guys. That's a debate that I'd love to hear. And then, of course, there's always a write-in vote. Let's go now to the Madman Machine voicemail line, 206-734-4763. Or if you're on Skype, it's Mad Money Machine.
Hey, Paul, this is True Ohio Player. I just wanted to tell you again, great job with the show. Did have a question. I'm sure you're going to comment on the next show about the two-for-one split that's happening with VTI, VXF, and VWO. Now that they're going to be doing a two-for-one split, I'm wondering if you could look into that and see, is there going to be any type of fees that are attached to that, that we as the consumer or buyers of those ETFs are going to have to eat later on at the end of this year? Two, also about the options. Now, it actually makes it a little bit more of a possibility now that they're lower in price. If you had 50 shares, now you're going to have 100 running options again on a taxable account on a VTI, a VWO, or a VXF. Again, if it's a long-term hold and something that you're just going to keep, if you're writing, you know, some cover calls on it, and now instead of just getting that the regular dividend, you're getting, you know, a nice, be it 30, 40, 50 bucks more a month on top of that. So, again, let me know what's your thought on that. Again, love the show. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for the call, True Ohio Player. Been a while since I heard from you. Appreciate the call. Let me give you a opinion on that. The splits on those ETFs aren't going to mean a thing. Not a thing. You're going to have twice as many shares at half as much the price. And there's no tax consequences. There's no consequences whatsoever. As, regarding covered calls, an option strategy where you sell calls against the shares that you already own, the problem is that the stock price might go up enough to where you sell the shares that you own. And you know what happens then, right? You have to pay capital gains taxes against that sale. Now, I've tried this strategy in the past, and I don't like it. Let's take another call.
Hey, this is Jason out of Muscatine. If you're even considering getting away from Microsoft, especially if you already like Unix anyway, please, please, please try Linux. When I'm looks like I'm in Louisiana. I'm actually in the middle of Iowa with a lot of flooding. as soon as I get home, I'll send you a couple links. Don't have to install anything. Goes on a disk. You pop it in, reboot, and it starts up. Try it out. See what you think. If you like it, go for it. I've even got it running on old machines, which can save you some of that mad money you like so much. And it runs like a champ, even on a Pentium 3 with no memory. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, thanks for that. I've got a number of folks called and wrote in to say, try Linux. You know, I might try it on my laptop, actually, because basically all I use that for is browsing the internet. And I don't need to run sophisticated applications like some of my stock trading programs or Excel spreadsheets and so forth. So that could be a good platform to try that on.
Sorry about calling twice, but if I don't, I'll forget. One of my friends at work actually also listens to your podcast, and I know that he's mentioned that the reason he hasn't taken the capacity survey is he doesn't have anywhere near enough money to get into that fund. If I remember right from the last one, 112, they have, say you bring up the Portfolio 90, they have on there a tab that will show you options. If you can't get into us, here's how you can kind of duplicate it. You might want to mention that again in case somebody happened to miss that particular podcast. Have a good one. And no, I don't. Have a Zoom. Bye.
Well, I don't know where people get the idea that by taking the survey that they're committed to do anything with IFA.com just gives you the number, one between 5 and 100, one of those 20 portfolios. You get to review your answers. They're going to send you an email saying thanks for taking the survey. But like I've said before, you know how to fill these things out, right? Would you put your work email address in there, or would you put a home email address, or would you put maybe a temporary email address in for that? And yes, when you get the answer at the IFA website, you can click on one of those numbered portfolios. Just forget, I'm not going to describe it anymore. Go to the show notes for show 115. I'll have a link directly to what the comparable portfolio is for portfolio 90 as an example. And you can change the numbers to get the comparable portfolio for all the other ones. One more caller.
Hey, Paul, I love the show. I was listening to show 114, and you asked the question, what would I invest in a market where depreciation was about to happen? And I thought out loud, real estate.
Now, wait a minute. I think on the last show I asked, what should you invest in if you believe prices will inflate? Yeah, real estate would be a good one. But I'm talking about stuff you'd buy at a store. Like if stuff in a grocery store, if you know prices are going to be higher next month and the month after and a year after that, what would you stock up on now and fill your basement with, knowing that you could buy a caseload of it now cheaper? But anyway.
And then you cut later in your show to the lazy portfolio and talking about time spent. And I thought, I've been tracking my time lately, looking at my goals and seeing how much time I spend trying real estate. I have a question. Let's say that if I try to compare real estate to your stocks, and let's just say real estate didn't have, or the open market that there is in stocks, and let's say real estate had that, or let's say actually the opposite, that the stocks didn't have the open market that they do, would you spend time contacting individual stockholders to try to buy stock 10 to 15% below market and hold it and hope for the appreciation? That's, of course, assuming that they break even on cash flows. Or would you take all that time saved and buy REITs? And not worry about the tax benefits and the borrowing money to use their equity. So just kind of thought I'd love to hear your response. Love the show. Bye.
Oh, man, you're going to get me in that age-old debate about which is better, stocks or real estate, aren't you? You're going to want me to take sides on that. Well, here's the side that I fall down on. I say that stocks are an investment and real estate is a business. Your home is not an investment. Your home is something that you live in. Rental apartments, commercial property, that's a business. And you can invest in your business in a sense, but it's not buying, it's not something that you buy and hold and then sell as an investment opportunity. It's something that you get in there and manage and you maintain and you repair and you go in and fix toilets and you take applications and you try to kick people out when they don't pay and all that sort of stuff. It's a completely different thing. Do you want to be in business or do you want to just own businesses? I'm not saying you can't make good money in real estate, but I think you can also make really good money being an accountant or a lawn service technician or an auto mechanic or a healthcare professional. If you want to be in the real estate business, go for it, man. Don't let me stop you. I hope you'll hold a diversified portfolio of investments, though, too. Let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Money Machine Show 115 is Journey. That's right, the rock band Journey, formed in San Francisco, California, 1973. Current members include Neil Sean, Russ Valerie, Jonathan Cain, Dean Castronova, and Arnell Pineda as lead singer. Well, that's right. Their investment advice is basically don't stop believing in yourself and what you can accomplish. And their latest album exemplifies this advice. It's entitled Revelation, but I think a better title of it would be Resurrection. Because the band, who lost some credibility in recent years because their key lead singer, Steve Perry, left several years ago due to a hip injury, well, they've tried to find a replacement singer who could emulate their sound, They came close with Steve Aoki and their 2005 album Generations, but the fans could tell it wasn't really the same. And in 2006, Aoki succumbed to a throat infection anyway, so they got this new guy, Jeff Scott Soto, but they got rid of him pretty quickly too. So they needed a lead singer. In December 2007, Neil Sean of the band was surfing YouTube looking for a replacement lead singer for the band. And wouldn't you know, they found Filipino singer Arnel Pineda singing covers of Journey songs. Well, Arnel is a Steve Perry clone and a whole lot more. I imagine that Journey feels like they've hit the lotto jackpot with this guy because he can imitate Steve Perry down to the last warbling falsetto. This is exactly like that movie that I saw that I like called Rockstar. I hope you've seen it. 2001 movie starring Mark Wahlberg, and Jennifer Aniston was in it a little bit too, but it depicts the life of an 80s metal band fictionally named Steel Dragon, which is based on a real-life story of Tim Ripper Owens, singer in a Judas Priest tribute band who was chosen to replace singer Rob Halford when he left the band. Well, just similar to that movie, they've got this tribute band singer joining the band and becoming a rock star. Their new album, Revelation, is available exclusively from Walmart, and it's a 3-disc set. The first CD is 11 new songs. Well, 10 new songs. One was on Generations. The second disc is a DVD of a live performance with the new singer, Arnel Pineda. And the third CD is something that I've never seen done in all of music ever before. And it's brilliant. They have recreated 11 of their hits with their new singer singing the songs, and they are note for note, riff for riff remakes of their hits just to prove that the new Journey can do exactly what the old Journey did. And so fans have no need to worry about going to see them in concert and not hearing a real Journey band. This is the real deal. And their new songs, their 11 new songs, are brilliant ripoffs of their own catalog that'll have Journey fans racing for the concert ticket window. Well, back to their investment advice. They'd say, when the lights go down in the city, when the party's over and everyone's asking who's crying now, it won't be you, because you just buy and faithfully hold index funds in your open arms. It's not too late, because still they ride, and they are the only solutions after the fall. Ask the lonely. You'll own stocks thousands of separate ways, worlds apart, with index funds. Your portfolio can be feeling that way anytime, any way you want it. You tell those stocks, I'll be all right without you. No one can look into the future and pick stocks as if from some wheel in the sky. Index funds will take your portfolio to a higher place, all the way, after all these years. Invest and never walk away. I say, be good to yourself when nobody else will, and buy this new Journey disc set from Walmart. It's only $11.88. That is fashionable frugality. Congratulations, Journey. You're the guru on Mad Men Machine Show 115. So let me just play an example from their, their best-selling single, Who's Crying Now? I'm going to have Steve Perry with the original version of the song in your left ear, and I'm going to have Arnel Pineda with the new version of the song just released in your right ear, and see if you can tell the difference.
Oh,
I don't think I've ever heard anything like this in music anywhere, where a band has done a complete recreation of an entire album's worth of their hits, all of them note for note. Now, I've known bands to do recreations of their own songs. For example, Sting. He'll take all his rock hits and then turn them into some sort of acoustical jazz songs and stuff like that. But this is really interesting. It's a great marketing idea. It introduces all the new kids out there, all you young guys listening to this show that have never heard of Journey before, to their music and to the joys of Journey. Well, that's enough about Journey. Let's pull something out of the Mad Money Machine tool crib. This is a great find. You know, I heard on Econ Talk several months ago, Russ Roberts asked his listeners to fill out a survey. And I did that, and he said he had several hundred people fill out the survey. And I wanted to have a survey taken of my audience as well. So I wrote him and asked him, what did you use to create your survey? And he said there was a website called SurveyMonkey.com. And so I went out to SurveyMonkey.com. I looked around, and they've got a service where if you have just 100 or fewer responses, that you can get a survey done for free. But I thought I might have more than 100 responses, and it turns out I already have. Thank you very much. And if you have more than 100, you need to pay $19.95 a month. And of course, being fashionably frugal, I looked around for something even less expensive, because free is the new cheap. And so I wondered what Adam Curry did for his survey, and it turns out he used our tool in the crib this week, which is not SurveyMonkey. It is spreadsheets.google.com. That's right. If you go to spreadsheets.google.com, you need a Gmail account or something probably. Go into the Google Docs, create a new spreadsheet, click on the share button over at the right, and then it says invite people. And click the button that says to fill out a form. Click the button that says start editing your form. And you can create any kind of survey that you want. You type in the question. You type in what kind of answers that you'd like to provide, whether it's a simple text answer or a paragraph of text or multiple choice or check boxes or choose from a list. And hey, I see now that there is paragraph text. Wow, I could have used that in my survey. Anyway, so you can create your own survey, and if you set up all the settings and so forth right, you can let people who answer questions in the survey see all the responses, like I did. So check out our tool in the crib this week. Google Spreadsheets allows you to create surveys for free. And if you'd like an example, click on the MadMenMachine.com webpage. Top of the second column says take the MMM survey and look and see what I've done to create a survey, and while you're there, fill it out for me, please. That's our tool in the crib this week. Google Spreadsheets survey tool, and like most of the fashionably frugal tools I've given you so far, this one is free. I'm ready to talk about what's going to be on the next show, Mad Money Machine Show 116. I don't want it to be a surprise, because you might be disappointed if it's not up your alley. You remember last year when I was all into running, I bought those Nike shoes with the special iPod insert, whatever. Well, one of the techniques I used to get started running, I have never been a runner before, I found online a website called coolrunning.com. And they have a couch to 5K running plan described in there of how to get started. For example, if you've never run before, then in the first week, just run, take a 5-minute brisk walk and then run for 60 seconds, walk for 90 seconds, and then continue that for a total of 20 minutes, and then do a 5-minute cool down walk. And then the second week, what they have you to do is 90 seconds of jogging and 2 minutes of walking. Then the third week, you jog for 90 seconds, walk for 90 seconds, jog for 3 minutes, and walk for 3 minutes. All right. Well, I did find a podcast called The Couch to 5K Running Plan, but I didn't like it very much. I didn't like the music the guy used in it. And I thought, you know, I could do one with my own music. And that is what I've done. But I've also done something else. You don't need to have 9 different podcasts loaded on your iPod for the 9 different weeks that this thing does. In fact, I broke it out into 12 different steps, okay? So you don't have to worry about what week you're on. I've put all 12 steps in one podcast, and so depending on what step you're on, you listen to the cues to tell you when to walk and when to run. And then along the way, to keep you interested, not only is the music good, but I've put in there summary descriptions of each of the 12 steps for active investors. Of course, I owe a great debt of gratitude to Index Funds Advisors and Mark Hebner at IFA for letting me use the material from their website and his book of the same title, Index Funds, a 12-step program for active investors. But these are investing tips that if you hear them 1,000 times, they'll never get old. These are timeless words of wisdom. They're worth memorizing, in fact, and this is a great way to learn while running. I have used the podcast myself several times just to take it for a test drive and do some fine tuning on it. And I love it. And I know you're going to love it too. So get ready to download it next Friday. Now what you need to do, again, the instructions on this, when you load it into iTunes, have a playlist and add this podcast to a playlist. That way it won't be deleted automatically. You can always have it in there. You can always go to the playlist to find MMM116C25KN12, the Couch to 5K program in 12 steps. I hope you enjoy it. Tell your friends about it. I'm going to have a permanent web page for this, madmenmachine.com/C25K. That's 4 characters. And let me know if you make it to step 12. Please do that for me, would you? I caught an article this week in Fortune magazine, written June 9th, by Carol J. Loomis, entitled Buffett's Big Bet. It says the celebrated investor wagers a tidy sum that even carefully chosen hedge funds won't return more than the market over time. And I'll have a link to this article at Fortune. It's pretty detailed. It says that, will a collection of hedge funds carefully selected by the experts return more to investors over the next 10 years than the S&P 500? And so Warren Buffett has made a bet with Protege Partners, a New York City money management firm that runs hedge funds, as to which one is going to win. Now, the details of the bet are each side has put up $320,000 into a zero coupon bond, which at the end of 10 years will be worth $1 million. And then they're going to give that money to charity, the winner's charity. So either way, they've both, you know, put up some money that they're not going to get back. And they're using longbets.org as the place to record their bet. And every year at Buffett's annual shareholders meeting, he will announce interim results. One thing the article points out is the fees of the hedge funds are a big hurdle for Protege to overcome. It says a fund of funds normally charges a 1% annual management fee. The hedge fund it puts the money into charges its own 1.5% fee. So that's 2.5% right away. In contrast, Vanguard Index 500 fund only charges 0.15%. So they've got to overcome the 2.5% differential. But on top of that fee, the hedge funds typically collect 20% of any gains they make. That leaves 80% for investors. The fund of funds takes 5% more of that 80% as its share of the gains. And it says the upshot is that only 76% at most of the annual return made on an investor's money accrues to him, with the rest going to the, quote, helpers, unquote, that Buffett has written about. I think the unfortunate thing is that Buffett has picked a pretty poor benchmark. He's picked large cap blend stocks, whereas we know that small cap value stocks have a better chance in the long run by about, what, 2-3% annualized. I wish he would have picked Index Folio 100 as the basis for his bet. I know I said no more jury, but I just can't help myself. This is from their new album. This is a song you're going to see on ESPN time and time again. Every sports compilation that they'll ever do in the future is going to use this song as the background. What a great marketing idea on Journey's part. The song is called What It Takes to Win.
There's come, you're prepared. Electricity in the air. Feel the calm, feel the rush. You want to leave victorious. When you look in their eyes, they're what you're gonna wanna take the prize. When day is done, risk it all. One will stand and one will fall. When you
Wonderful, fantastic. It's my new favorite song. I'm sure I'll wear out the grooves on my iPod with that one. Thank you so very much for joining me again this week on the Mad Money Machine. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes fashionable frugality to make a Mad Money Machine. Please visit our sponsor, Index Funds Advisors, at ifa.com. Let them match you with one of their index portfolios. Take their risk capacity survey. Take the Mad Money Machine survey, for that matter. Some music on this program provided by music.poncho.com and some other music provided by Walmart. Don't forget about next Friday's show. Go out and buy a pair of running shoes if you don't have them. You are doing 5K by the end of summer. See you next Friday, everybody. Stay fit and stay invested. I was so frustrated about not having a singer, explains guitarist Sean. So I went onto YouTube for a couple of days and just sat on it for hours. I was starting to think I was never going to find anybody, but then I found The Zoo, and I watched a bunch of different video clips that they had posted. After watching the videos over and over again, I had to walk away from the computer and let what I heard sink in because it sounded too good to be true. I thought, he can't be that good. But he is that good. He's the real deal and so tremendously talented. Arnell doesn't sound synthetic and he's not emulating anyone. I tried to get a hold of him through YouTube and I finally heard from him that night, but it took some convincing to get him to believe that it was really me and not an imposter. Arnell picks up the story. He said, my friend Noel picked up the message on YouTube and told me it was from Neil. I thought it was a hoax, so I ignored it. Noel said, what if it really was Neil and he wanted to offer you the chance of a lifetime? So I emailed Neil back and the rest is history.